Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
Wow. Father, we are so grateful today for your love for us, for you so loved the world that you gave your Son, that we would be in you for all eternity, that we would be in your love, in your perfection, in your grace, in your goodness, in your blessings for all eternity. And the glory of that revelation is so massive, Lord God, that it's probably going to take us all eternity to embrace it all. But today we want to thank you for the revelation that you've given us, and we ask for expanded revelation of the fullness of all that Jesus did for us. We give you thanks. I ask for your blessing upon this word as I open it for your people, as I serve it to their hearts, Lord God, and that you would empower them with a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, and that the power of these blessings would be infused into their lives from this time forth and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you see it, you can have it. That's what God spoke to Abraham. He took him out on the plains after Lot had separated from him. And he said, Abraham, I want you to look as far as you can to the north, the south, the east, the west, because whatever you see, I'm giving it to you. And I remember years ago when the Lord gave me that as a download, as a revelation, I was so excited about it because inside of one revelation the Lord gives you are layers and layers and layers of truth that can be revealed over time. But I came to a realization at that moment that when the Lord opens up, it's like opening up a seal of understanding. When he gives you an understanding of his ways, that understanding, that revelation now belongs to you. As soon as it's revealed, it's yours. And this morning, I'm believing for the word of God to come to you. This isn't just a service that we attend. This is where we worship the Lord as our worship to our God and give him, lavish him with our love, with our extravagant love, our extravagant worship, and we receive from him our God. So even though the word is for all who will receive it, I want you to position yourself this morning to receive it as your word from your God. Your word from your God. Because every revelation that you receive and say yes to and embrace and steward, it's yours. It will manifest within your life. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do today. I want to share on the seven blessings of Passover and the atonement of Christ. And I'm very excited about this message. And I want to give some credit up on the top end to Steve Munsey, who wrote the book, Seven Blessings of Passover. Some of my message is actually has been confirmed by his writing, but it's a great book. He writes it in simple format, very easy to understand, full of revelation, and I highly recommend it. You can get it on Amazon, and I just love the way that he breaks open the blessings of the covenant that we have with the Lord. But in the scriptures, you'll find seven feasts of the Lord. And they were feasts that the Lord called his people to come and celebrate with him. The purpose of the feast was for celebration of his goodness, but it was also an opportunity for him to bless his people, to gather them together so he could bless. He's a blessing God. He's a love God. He's a father, and he loves to bless his children. He loves to extravagantly pour out goodness upon his children. And so that the feasts were designed so he could corporately, upon all of his people, pour out a realm of blessing. And each feast had specific mandates to it, specific blessings. And then out of the seven feasts of the Lord, there were three major ones that on those particular feasts, all of God's people had to, during those times, travel to Jerusalem to actually celebrate those feasts. And they were the Feast of Passover, which is the first feast of the year, and then the Feast of Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. So the people had to gather in Jerusalem for that time. And when they came together, it was joyous. It was a time, no matter what was going on in their lives, it was a time for them to lay down their burdens and to come and enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And boy, did he ever bless them. And so we are going to look right now at Passover, which is the first feast of the year, because in Passover, you see a prophetic picture of the first Passover that took place in Egypt, when God delivered his people out of Egypt. The first Passover was a prophetic foretaste of Jesus Christ and what Jesus was going to do for all eternity. And so when we study Passover, we see Jesus as our Passover lamb. We see Jesus as the resurrected one who spilled his blood for us on the cross and gave us blessing, gave us life. The work has been finished. We don't have to celebrate for what's to come. We're celebrating what's already taken place. It's already done. And you, being the people of God, are recipients then of his blessing. But all the blessings have to be received. They could be out there for you, but you never receive them. Let's say I put $1 million out on the table and I said, this is your blessing, but you never went and collected it. It's still your blessing because I gave it to you, but it's not going to do you any good because you didn't receive it. And so this morning, I'm going to open up for you 7 blessings of this season, of what God promised to his people at Passover. And of course, it is promised to us today in Christ because our Passover lamb did the ultimate sacrifice. But as I outline them for you, remember that you're going to have to receive those blessings. Not only am I going to tell you about them, but by faith, you have to say, that's mine. Because if you see it, you can have it. Okay, so I want you to intentionally grab hold of these blessings. I believe I'm speaking under a prophetic authority this morning. I believe the Lord told me to prophesy this. It's like words that bring life into you. And I've been praying for you that shifts are going to come. Some of you have been through hell and back again this last season. And I believe this Passover and this Resurrection Sunday, we're going to see a shift. We're going to see a change. Amen. So in Exodus 12, 11 and 14, it says, now you shall eat in this manner with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So he's giving them instruction on the first Passover on how to perform it. It is the Lord's Passover. It's not the Jewish Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. Now, this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Prior to the first Passover, the people of God were instructed to remove all leaven out of their house as they were to prepare for the Passover. So they were to go through their house, and if they found any leaven, they were to remove it. Now we know in the New Testament that leaven is symbolic of sin. And so in the New Testament, we look at our lives and we say, Holy Spirit, reveal to us anything that is not in line with your perfect ways, that violates your word, that violates your thinking, that violates your truth. Reveal to us anything that we need to turn away from, because it is a time to remove sin. And that's not just like, you know, that you're out robbing a bank or murdering someone. This could be things like gossip and pride and arrogance and, you know, telling half-truths, exaggerating, all those things. So ask the Lord, even right now, ask the Lord, is there anything that I need to ask forgiveness for? And so he had his people go through all their house and remove all the leaven. And come on, church, this is something that we want to live as a standard in this, because when you've got Jesus Christ the righteous living inside of you, is there any room for transgression? So if we do sin, we're going to take care of it right away, because we have a provision for that. And Jesus made that provision on the cross 2,000 years ago when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we have that ability to receive forgiveness and cleansing according to 1 John 1:9. Okay, secondly, They were God's people in the first Passover, were to prepare the Passover lamb and put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts and lintels. That was a prophetic sign of Jesus' blood sacrificed for us, and it signified forgiveness of sin and was a sign of covenant and eternal life. So they had to prepare the lamb. You can actually take that scripture off the screen if you wouldn't mind. Thanks. I'll get to that one, though, but just not now. So what they were to do is to take the lamb. Each household had to take a lamb. And there were specific things about the lamb. It had to be, you know, a pure lamb without spot, blemish. It had to be a certain age. It had to be a young lamb. And they were to prepare it in a certain way. And they were to drain the blood from it and take the blood and put that blood on their doorposts and their lintels, the door frame, the things that held up the house. They were to put blood on the house because it was going to be a sign so that when God was actually judging Egypt, as he came with the last judgment, which was the death of the firstborn, when the angel of death came through and saw the blood on the house, then he would pass by. And instead of death, there would be life in the house of God's people. And I think there's something significant for all of you here, is that blood was for a household. That's why it says in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your house. And so who you include in your household is under that blood. And you might think, yeah, but they don't know Jesus yet. They're rebelling. Well, that's the point. It's just, yeah, remember the king has one move left. And all it is one revelation. They're only one revelation away from receiving Jesus as their Savior. Once that revelation hits your heart, everything changes on the inside of you. You're a new person when God opens up your eyes to that. So it's important that you understand that the blood of Jesus is on your household and the provision of his blessings is for you as a house, and you can declare the blessings of the Lord over your children, over your family. It's so beautiful. And then immediately following, after, you know, Egypt was judged and the people of God were safe, they had been told by the Lord to visit their neighbors, their Egyptian neighbors, and ask for the gold, the silver, the spices. And the Egyptians just turned it over, you know. There was a grace that God put on them to just give what they had over to God's people. And I believe that there's going to be a transfer for many of you in this hour where the enemy has really been oppressing, like the children of Israel had been oppressed all those years. They hadn't been given proper wages and that. All of a sudden it's payback and they got their back pay. You know, they left with back pay. And so it all came to them. And then immediately they were to leave and go where? Towards their promise. They were to leave the oppression and go towards their promise. And what Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago made a mark in the history of mankind that says this marks true life. And that when you come into true life, that's when you begin to fulfill your destiny. That's when all your destiny plans, your promises, and everything can come into fulfillment, because that's the mark that is in mankind's history, is what Jesus did for us. So we see that Christ is our Passover, as we said earlier. And so we're to purge out the old leaven. And you can put 1 Corinthians up there now. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. This is New Testament talking about the feast of Passover. Let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Yay. So we're gathering together as a celebration. And you know, even people that do not know Jesus as their personal Savior feel oftentimes a draw to go to church on what they call Easter Sunday. Easter's actually a pagan name. I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday, right? But I mean, I'm not going to, you know, get all weird about, you know, if someone wants to call it Easter. As long as they're acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord instead of the bunny rabbit that lays eggs, which takes a lot of faith to believe in a bunny rabbit that lays eggs. But the truth is that we're calling the nations to come together and celebrate Jesus Christ, who is our Passover. Now, as we come to celebrate, as they did in the Old Testament feast, when they would come together to Jerusalem, the place of double peace, that's what Jerusalem means, they would come and celebrate Passover. They'd celebrate God's goodness. They'd celebrate the blood of the Lamb, just like we are today. And seven blessings were pronounced upon them for that year. That's why God wanted to gather them together, so he could renew blessings upon them afresh every year. And, you know, now we don't necessarily have to have them renewed every year, although it's wonderful to remember the promises of God. But what God did for us on Calvary 2,000 years ago released the blessings to every believer for all eternity. But I want us to examine the scripture today, and I want you to see the seven blessings that the Lord actually promises people. And the first one is out of Exodus 23, verse 20 to 21. And it says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place where I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." Now, the first blessing is a blessing of an angel. And most Bible scholars believe that this is in reference to the Holy Spirit. The word angel in the Hebrew is translated in English spirit. And you'll notice that in the New King James Version and in the New American Standard Version, that deity is capitalized. And so that's why you see in this particular verse, in those versions, it is capitalized, because it's in reference to Holy Spirit. Now, this is amazing. When we celebrate Jesus, you know, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Do not be afraid that I'm going away. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you." And then in that context, he says, "But I'm going to send a helper to you. I'm going to send you the Paracletos, the one who comes alongside and strengthens you, and he will teach you. He will instruct you. He will disclose to you what is to come. He will reveal to you what is yours in me." And so when we celebrate at this time of year, we remember that Jesus didn't leave us alone. He left us with a helper. He left us with the Holy Spirit. And when we are directed by the Holy Spirit, it says in Romans that those that are mature sons of God are led, are directed by the Holy Spirit. And so when we let the Holy Spirit lead us and direct us, convict us, empower us, then we are going to receive a phenomenal blessing, because he is going to lead us right into what God has destined for us, for each and every one of you. And so he wants us to regard the Holy Spirit. The next feast that we celebrate here in the house is Pentecost. It's coming up soon too. And of course, that is a celebration of the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that we can be filled with. But we were given, the Holy Spirit came into the earth to lead and guide mankind into the blessings of God. So when you come together to celebrate Jesus at Passover, the Holy Spirit is assigned afresh to you. Whoa. Receive him. Receive his empowerment. Receive his manifestation. Receive his instruction, his teaching, his goodness. Okay, secondly, it says that the Lord will be an enemy to your enemies. And it says in Exodus 23, verse 22 to 24, "But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. And you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. This is powerful. The Lord says that one of his blessings of us celebrating Jesus, our Passover, is that he's going to be an enemy to our enemies. You know, I've had, you know, over my life, you know, and all of you have too, there's the odd time where people will mistreat you and people will say to me, well, aren't you going to get back? Aren't you going to let them have it? I thought, no, I don't need to do that because the Lord will take care of my enemies. I'm just going to keep loving him. The Lord's going to take care of my enemies. So it's like, he'll take care of it. You know, like, you know, when people rip you off, when people lie against you, when they slander you, when they mistreat you, all of that is to just say, okay, Lord, I'm standing in the blessing that you promised to give me, that you will take care of it. I don't have to fight. You will do a much better job. If I started fighting, I'd probably get in the flesh, but you are never in the flesh. You're in the spirit, and you're going to do a great job. Not only that, though, there are spiritual enemies. There are entities like the devil himself, principalities, powers, evil demons that are out there. They're our enemy. There are the world's values are our enemy. And the Lord says, I'm going to be an enemy to your enemies. And I'm going to give you the power to overthrow every power that comes against you. And that's talking in our day of spiritual enemies. And we see this in Ephesians 6, that we have power over all the power of the enemy because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, forces of wickedness, all of that. And we get to fear nothing because one of the blessings of celebrating our Passover, Jesus, is that he becomes an enemy against our enemies. And he lives within us. So we can walk through any battle unharmed and untouched because he is fighting for us. The king has a move left always. Amen. Woo. The third blessing that was declared was he would bless our provision. And in Exodus 23, verse 25, the first part of the verse, it says, he will bless your bread and your water. It is consistent all the way through scriptures that God always desires his people to prosper. He is called El Shaddai. He is the God of all plenty. He is the God of more than enough. And he wants his people to prosper. In the New Testament, in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says that God wants us to prosper in every aspect of life and be in health as our soul prospers. So when our soul is aligned with him, as we're celebrating him, as we're blessing him, as we're living for him, every aspect of our life will prosper. Every aspect. And health will strengthen us as we receive that blessing from the Lord. And again, I want to say, you know, you can be given a blessing, but you never work it. You never receive it. You just say, oh, look at that blessing on the table. But it's not going to do you any good unless you take that blessing and start to utilize it. And that's what God wants to awaken you to today, is to get aggressive with a blessing. And for those of you that are not experiencing abundance, you know, and I've heard Christians say, I don't think God wants his people to prosper. He wants them to remain poor and you know, and needy so that we're dependent on him. I thought, that is so not biblical. You will not find that in the scripture, not anywhere, not in the Old Testament or the New Testament. You will just not find that. That is a lie. It is a deception of the enemy. He always wants you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And so if you're not prospering, it's time for you to say, I'm a prospered one because I celebrate Jesus, my Passover, and therefore one of the blessings that comes upon me is I have more than enough. And I'm not talking about, you know, just comparing to the world and having a status in the world and according to the world's monetary system. You know, we are very, very blessed, but I very seldom think about money except when you have to do a transaction. But when it comes to the abundance realm, I don't even equate it with money, even though we're blessed with money. It's a realm that is beyond money. It's just a realm of more than enough. It's a realm that you live in of more than enough. And you can contend for it. When you see the blessing, you can say, I'm not letting go of that. And it might be on that chessboard that you saw that it looks like the devil's winning the battle and not you. He's got all your little pawns on his side. But you see, the king still has a move. And the thing is, the king's move stands. Because it's his truth. It is impossible for his truth not to come to pass when you're connected to it, when you're actually receiving that blessing. It's a matter of just standing and saying, God, I believe your word, and I'm going to trust your word, and I'm not moving off your word because this is you. I'm celebrating my Passover. And my Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, set me free from the bondage of poverty and lack and the misery that goes with all that. When you minister in developing nations and you see the poverty, right, Carl? Right, Kenda? When you see the poverty that people suffer in and everything that goes with it, it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. So why would we preach anything other than a prosperity gospel? I'm not talking about a world mentality of materialism. I'm talking about the truth that sets people free. Because in a poverty environment, you'll find sickness, disease, death, discouragement, hopelessness. People dragging their tails through the dirt. It's just so sad to see. And it's not God. And part of the good news of the gospel, the covenant that we have that was given to us on the cross 2,000 years ago when we celebrated Christ who is our Passover, it was a covenant of blessing. And today, I'm going to release upon you the blessing of abundance. I am going to release it upon you. In fact, all these blessings I'm going to decree over you and impart to you at the end of this service. Woo! Okay, the fourth blessing that was released on Passover was found in Exodus 23, 25, the second half of that verse. And it says, sickness will be removed from your midst. And he says, and I will remove sickness from your midst. And again, this is something we have to wrestle for sometime when we see it. I'm in a wrestle in this particular area of our life. We got assaulted in it for a season, but we know the promise of God. And the promise of God is so true. It is yes and amen to us. It is his blessing to keep us strong and healthy and vibrant. And if the devil tries to afflict you, guess what it's going to end up as? It's going to end up as eternal life. It's going to end up as a testimony for the glory of God. It's going to end up as a vibrant display of his healing. And he'll be sorry he ever tried. And you say, yeah, but I've been suffering through this for years. I understand that one. I understand it, but you can't lose your faith. If the Lord says he's blessing you by removing sickness from you, lean into that. Just take hold of it. Grab hold of it until it manifests. It's not something you just try out. It's something you have to live in and walk in and believe and lay hold and have no other option in your life. Because he said, I'm going to bless you with the removal of sickness from your midst. Imagine the day when every Christian and their family lives in divine health and manifests it. It's coming. Okay, the fifth blessing is you will be fruitful and live a full life without God's destiny plans being aborted. It'll come to fulfillment. Everything that you were created to do and display is not going to diminish at the end of your life. Your end days are going to be more fruitful. There's going to be more glory at the end of your life than in the beginning. And one of the blessings that God declared over his people is that there would not be an abortion of plan, that there would be a fruitful, full life in every believer all the days of your life. You're not going to fade out towards the end. Number six, God will bring increase and possession of promises, and that's your inheritance in Christ. an increase and possession of promises. Now, all the promises of God are already in the Bible. But if you never search them out, you see, it's the glory of a king to hide a manner, hide within the scripture. You know, it's the glory of our king to hide for us the blessing. But it's the glory of man to search it out. You know, so let's search out the blessing. I quoted it wrong. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. But we're all kings in Christ. And our King Jesus is hiding blessings for us. So that not just anyone finds them. His seekers find them. All the blessings are yours. The moment that you become born again, all the blessings in the Word are yours. All of them are. But they're not going to be real in your experience until you search them out and receive them and take hold of them. But the promise is that God will increase, bring increase and possession of promises. Exodus 23:30. Until you have increased and you inherit the land. You'll just continue to move until that. And then the final one, number 7, was God will fix your boundary, your realm of blessing and authority as you remain submitted and yielded to his ways. In Exodus 23:31-33, and I will set your bounds. Now God has realms that he's given or offered to each and every one of us. We're all different. We're unique. There isn't anyone like you. And there's no one that has the exact same gifting as you, the same calling as you, you know, that might be similar, but it's not going to be worked out in the same way because you are unique. God created you unique. There's no one like you. And to every person, he's given a destiny invitation, a destiny potential that includes realms that you can secure for his glory. And once you secure a realm of blessing, it is yours for your whole life. And how do you secure a realm of blessing? You have to fight for it. I know that every promise that has become real to me, I've received it by faith, and then guess what happens? Battle comes. The enemy comes to fight against it. But as I war against him with the truth, because it makes you dig in for more truth, and as I walk according to the word of God, not according to my own flesh or my own thinking, as I push through and walk, eventually I can feel the shift, and it actually becomes a realm of blessing. I've sown the word into my life. I've passed the tests. I've you know, worked through all the discouragements and everything that comes with it. I'm standing on the promise of God, and all of a sudden I realize I don't even have to work that promise anymore. It's become a realm. It's become a border in my life that can't be transgressed by an enemy. And you're the same. Yeah. I remember one of the initial ones that we had when we walked into ministry was the whole thing of financial provision. And the Lord took us through a 5-year period where we had to fight according to the word of God, fight every devil that hit us, stand on his blessings, obey his word, obey all the instruction of kingdom economy to the T, and we just continued walking and pressing in because we believed the promise. We didn't doubt God. We just believed the promise, and we knew that God's realm was greater than a natural realm and that he could invade it. He could supersede it, but we just had to fight through, and when we did, I remember the exact day, the exact moment when everything shifted, and today when I came in here, I could feel shifts. Shifts are going to take place today. But I remember it shifting. I remember driving down the highway, and I was crying out to God and praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, I could feel the shift in the spirit, and I knew that our warfare season was over, and you know what? It was. Within less than 2 weeks, everything shifted, manifested glory, and to this very day, we've never, ever been touched again by those levels of warfare because we're living in a realm of abundance. Abundance comes to us. We don't have to go to abundance. It comes to us. It finds us. It overtakes us because it's a realm. It's a boundary that God assigned to us. But even though it was assigned, we had to contend for it. You have to believe the truth. You have to receive it. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have it. You have to believe that you receive before it manifests. You can't just say, oh, I'll try out that promise. Oh, it didn't look like it worked, and then give up on it. No, if God's giving you a realm, contend for it. That's what he's talking about here. He said, I'm going to give you a realm. He said, I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the Sea Cilicia and from the desert to the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. So he says, I'm going to deliver them into your hand, but you've got to drive them out. That's the reason why warfare comes to you, so that you can drive it out, because God's establishing a realm for you. He's establishing a boundary. I'm believing for our house that we're going to go to a whole new level of the manifest glory of God, the manifest presence of God. We had a word from Prophet James Gall that this next season is going to be a miracle season, and it's going to be atmospheric. I believe it. I'm praying into it. I'm sowing into it. I'm declaring into it. And I'm going to fight every devil that opposes it, because it's a word from the Lord, and that's going to be our realm. That's going to be our boundary. That's something God is giving us. We're not going to be left on the sidelines in this next move. We're going to be right in the center of it. So you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them. In other words, you don't come into agreement with them. If you're getting attacked and hit in an area, don't come into agreement and say, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, the devil did this to me and that happened. And, you know, this is why I'm so miserable today. No, you can't come into agreement with the devil's lies. Because the blessing of the Lord has been given to you. You are an overcomer. His word is more real than the circumstance that you are facing. You shall not make a covenant with them, nor their gods. You shall not dwell in their land, lest they make you sin against me. In other words, you don't live according to the world standard, the flesh standard, because otherwise you could end up sinning against the Lord. And if you serve your their gods, it will surely be a snare for you. So with every blessing, he also gives the warnings so that you'll know what might come against you, so that you stay in the center of the blessings. So how do we position ourselves for these seven blessings? I put Pentecost here, but it's actually Passover. Passover and Christ's atonement. Number one, repent from sin. Remove the leaven out of your life. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. And he knows exactly what we're doing and what we're thinking. Don't think that you can fool him. Okay, he just knows. And I know that we are in a season right now of a lot of exposure. You've seen it on the news. There's documentaries and everything that's out there about fallen ministers and what was going on behind the scenes in their life that they were covering up. But it wasn't covered to God. And all those years that they were doing that, God's with them. Turn, repent, repent. They probably sat under messages like this. They thought, oh, yeah, that was an okay service today. And go on unchanged, because they didn't let the conviction of the Spirit come to them. And so that little bit of leaven grew. And that little bit of leaven leavened inside of them. And it started filling their lives and spilling over into other people's lives, destroying many. Your sin does not only touch you. It never only touches you. It not only touches those around you, whether you can see it or not, it does, because sin is like a realm as well. It's dark, it's wicked, it's got, you know, it gives devils their power. Devils don't have any power except what sin gives them. And then it starts affecting atmospheres. Whole nations can go down a tube because of people's sin. And that's why revivals turn everything around. Because in true revival, there's conviction of sin. People repent. The Lord forgives. And the atmosphere is clean. And nations turn back to God. Don't think this nation's going to come back to God by a few people standing on a platform saying, come down, dark prince. That's not going to happen. It's going to happen when we yield to the Holy Spirit. And when we come into repentance and get the leaven out of the house. Come on, this is serious. If you're happy in a sin right now, you won't be happy for long. It says it offers you pleasure for a moment, and then you know what it does? It destroys. It completely destroys. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Don't don't bite into the deception that, oh, well, it's just my life. I'm just go on and I'm quite happy the way it is. You won't be happy for long. You'll be in torment because the devil's a tormentor. When you sin, you subject yourself to him. He becomes your God. He becomes the one that oversees you. That's why God gives this warning. Don't make a covenant with them. Don't come into agreement with your enemy, lest you become like them and you become my enemy. I don't know about you, but I want the blessing. If I step into sin, I get the curse. Duh. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out which choice to make. I serve God, I get the blessing. I serve the devil, I get curse. I don't know. This is a hard decision to make. Only if you've got a spirit of stupid that you need to be delivered from. Amen? Come on, let's live clean and pure before our God, because Christ, who is our Passover, died for us 2,000 years ago so that all of our sins could be forgiven, that we could be given eternal life, and that we could live in the blessing. The blessing, the fullness of the blessings. Do you know that these blessings, these seven blessings of Passover, these seven blessings were given to the people even under the old covenant as they observed the celebration of the Passover. Even under the old covenant. And now it's all that and more in the new covenant. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Everyone. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2-4, it talks about grace and peace being multiplied unto us in the knowledge of Christ, who is our Passover. And that every exceeding great precious promises is ours. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is ours. How did we get this? We got it because we celebrate our Passover. We got it because we align with Jesus. We invited him into our life. And because of God's goodness, he's given us all that blessing. We don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You just have to be inside of Passover himself. Jesus is the Passover lamb. Judgment has passed over us. Death has passed over us. And we've been given life. And therefore, we live for him. Amen? Woo! I'm just so excited about this. I can hardly stand it. Okay. Okay, so we acknowledge the blood of the Lamb who is our Passover, Christ who is our Passover. Acknowledge the power of the blood, that's number two. And number three, bring an extravagant offering. Now, I want to read to you Deuteronomy 16:16-17. 3 times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord, your God, in the place where he chooses, at the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is Passover, and the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths, Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord, your God, which he has given you. So when they came together to celebrate, they weren't to come empty-handed. They were to come to give an extravagant offering to the Lord according to how they were blessed. It wasn't like, okay, everybody has to give a certain amount of money. It was according to how you were blessed that you were to give extravagantly. Why? Why? It was God saying, I'm going to gather you together, and this is like tax time. I'm going to take your money from you. No, it was so that he could increase the blessing for the coming year, because he taught them that there is a blessing and a principle, a law of sowing and reaping. And in the measure that you sow, you reap. So if you sow in the midst of celebration, you sow into the blessing of God, into the goodness of God, then it comes upon you in greater measure than what you sowed in the coming year. And he proclaimed the blessing upon them for the coming year. And today I want to invite all of you to give an extravagant offering to the Lord. We don't need your money, okay? We're not trying to say, oh, please give to the church because we're poor and we have to pay the bills. No, God will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We trust him. We don't trust offerings. We trust him. But we want to give you the opportunity to give to him in his presence, because he will bless you. And when you bring it in the house, in the place where you gather, the house is blessed and is able to bless the Lord further in the outreach of the kingdom of God. Amen? Woo, so awesome. So what we want to do right now, if I could have the worship team come forward again. Each of you has received a little communion cup. And I'll just take this. Thank you. And we're going to remember. We're going to remember Christ. We're going to remember his blood. We're going to remember his body. We're going to remember this covenant of blessing that he has given us. We're going to worship him as we receive communion this morning. I also want you to prepare your offering to him. Again, this is to him. This is between you and him. But I'm telling you, something's going to break over your life today. We're going to receive communion. We're going to, maybe we could even have, if I could have the ushers bring the baskets forward to the front, just in the front here. Throughout this next time when we're doing ministry and I'm proclaiming the blessing, as you're receiving your communion, anytime you feel to bring your offering forward to the Lord, do so. Because it is going to come under the blessing of his word. He said, you bring it to the feast because I'm going to bless you with a sevenfold blessing. As you bless me, I'll bless you back beyond anything that you could ever understand. As you acknowledge me and what I've done for you, you will be blessed beyond measure. And we release our lives to him afresh. And as you come forward and as you receive communion, I also want to invite you to make a fresh commitment to him. Make a fresh commitment of your life to him. Say, God, I'm desperate to go deeper with you. I'm desperately in love with you. And I want to go deeper into you in this next season. So, Lord, we take the bread right now that represents your body, Lord. And, Lord, you came in the flesh. You left your heavenly glory and came in the flesh so that you could bless us with eternal life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And you came in the flesh that we would have you inside of us, that you would give us God life. And we don't take that lightly, Lord. We remember you on this Resurrection Sunday, during this Passover season, we remember you. And so we partake of your body now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we remember the blood of our Passover lamb, the blood of your sacrifice on the cross, Lord Jesus, the blood that speaks forgiveness, the blood that speaks renewing of life. Oh, the blood, the blood, the blood, the precious blood of the covenant that brings us into an eternal, unbreakable covenant of love and blessing. We receive you afresh. We celebrate you afresh as we partake of your blood. Thank you, Jesus. We commit ourselves afresh to you right now. We commit ourselves afresh to you. I want you to sit in his presence right now as I proclaim these blessings over you. And I want you to bring your heart before the Lord, and as the blessings are spoken, that you would receive them. Say, this is mine, because if you see it, you can have it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as an ambassador of your word, I decree your blessing over your people, not only those in this room, but those watching online. I decree the blessing of your Holy Spirit that you've assigned to your people. And a new wave right now, a new wave of visitation of the Holy Spirit coming in this year that will keep them in your way, Lord God, and bring them into the place that you have prepared for them. Holy Spirit, we release you in fullness to visit, to teach, to empower, and to bless the people of God. And Lord, we also believe that you send angels, ministers on your behalf to your people. So I loose them now in Jesus' name for this coming year. And Lord, I decree over your people the blessing that you will be an enemy to their enemies. Whatever enemies they have, whatever is pressing against them, whatever nasty things are coming upon them, that I declare that you are their warrior. You are the one who will take their enemies out on their behalf. You are an adversary to their adversary, an enemy to their enemies. And Lord, I decree the blessing of blessed provision over them. That their bread and their water is blessed. That everything they put their hands to is blessed. That they have more than enough provision. They have more than enough for what they need. And there's breakthrough for your people in the area of provision. That the heavens are open over them now in Jesus' name for this coming year. I decree your health and your wholeness over every single one, every family, Lord. That sickness will be removed from their midst. We thank you, Lord, for testimony after testimony already, where we have seen your sickness removed from people's bodies. They're coming out on the other side, whole and healed. And we say, more, Lord, in Jesus' name, for every household, every individual. And if you have something that you're fighting right now, his miracle working power is in this room right now. We believe for a shift for you right now. And we decree and declare today that you will be fruitful. You're going to live a full life. There's no aborted plans. You're going to come into the fullness of your destiny, of what God provided for you. Nothing will thwart your way because you are blessed to live a fruitful and full life. And I decree and declare the blessing of God's increase of promises that are granted to you, of revelation of the promises that He is handing out to you. That there is a full inheritance in Christ that you will see and embrace and encounter this year. And finally, that God will fix your boundary. It'll be increased and fixed on your behalf. That the realm of blessing and authority that you stand in will increase this year because you are submitted and fully yielded to Him. So I bless you. In the name of Jesus. Now just soak in that and say, I receive every one of those blessings, Lord. I receive them.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.